Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com. This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tincata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tincata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tincata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tincata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tincata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit tincatafabrics.com.
Good afternoon. My name is Raul Angulo. I'm a retired captain from the Seattle Fire Department. I have over 38 years. I guess if you keep counting the years, if you're still involved in the fire service, you know, I'm probably over 40 years on the job or in the fire service. So that keeps going. Anyway, a lot of you know me. I've written for Fire Engineering and for Fire Apparatus Magazine. And I'm also the new author of this brand new textbook, Engine Company Fire Ground Operations, fourth edition. Yeah, I want to thank Tammy for letting me plug the book. This is the newest engine company textbook out there on the market right now. It's published by Jones and Bartlett Learning, and it's an NFPA publication. And I did a lot of work on this book, well over 5 years in researching it. I read every engine company book out there, so that I made sure I covered all the topics and then was able to put my own spin on it. But this target audience for this engine book, it's not a command book. It's for senior company officers, for engines and trucks. I'm working on the latter book right now, which will be published hopefully by the end of the year, but for sure by next year, Ladder Company Fire Ground Operations, fourth edition. But the thing about this one is I took the UL NIST research and actually applied it to firefighting. So this book is different, where it actually applies the UL NIST studies so that you can run a fire. And anyway, check it out. This is going to be the first year it's really rolled out at FDIC. And so I'm very proud of that accomplishment. Writing books is a lot harder than writing magazine articles. I'm also here teaching the class drills you're not going to find in the book. That's a four-hour workshop. It's tomorrow, Tuesday in the afternoon. I think the afternoon session starts at 1:30, but it's like from 1 to 5. And so that's always been a well-attended class. And there's over 100 drills and ideas that I present in this class in a PowerPoint format. It's all sequential so that you can take this information home and immediately start training and using it in your department. I'm one of the only instructors that gives my entire program away. So everybody who comes to my workshop will get a thumb drive of this entire 4-hour presentation. So that's a deal in itself, making the FDIC, the experience really valuable for you. So a lot of years of experience, you get to take that home if you come to drills you're not gonna find in the book. I know that this is really kind of the first year post-pandemic that we're really going forward. Last year, they had the FDIC. It was in August, I believe, right, Tammy? It was actually pretty well attended. I was surprised. I expected more people to bow out, but it was well attended. But there was still a lot of apprehension, I felt. But this year, I think, is they're looking forward to this being the first normal year since the lockdowns and the pandemic. Like I said, I'm a 40 plus year veteran of the fire service. I'm an old guy now. And I look at this new generation. I have kids, but all my kids are in the 30s. But I look at this new generation, and And I was wondering if a lot of the core values that have been in the fire service still resonate with this new generation. In talking to some of my peers, it seems that the fire service is going through a big change right now, where we've lost a lot of senior people either to early retirement or retirement. And a lot of departments are short on staffing, and so they're in hiring mode. And so they're bringing in a new core, a new generation of firefighter. And are they really going to capture the vision, you know, being raised in this selfie, promote yourself, everyone's taking pictures of themselves and doing these videos, and everything's about me, 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 me. And for me, it was a little concerning. It's like, man, have we gone a little bit away from core values with the new generation? Well, coming into Indianapolis yesterday, I was really encouraged by how many young firefighters were at the airport with their gear bags. They're obviously taking hot courses. And I had never seen it. I've been coming here since 1996. I saw a tremendous amount of people with gear bags yesterday. And I was really encouraged, Tammy. I was like, wow, this is good. So I love firefighters. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here even after I've been retired for 5 years. And so I love asking them, you know, what are you here for? What are you taking? And there's a lot of excitement for a lot of these young firefighters. It's their first time to FDIC. And so I wish them all the best, but they had a really positive sense of anticipation for what they were about to experience. So we're all hoping that this is going to be a real special getting back to normal and get back to training on the things that matter most. I know in a lot of fire departments during this pandemic, training was curtailed. First of all, there were lockdowns. You couldn't have visitors at the fire station. They were doing a lot of remote learning. They weren't training like they used to. And so a lot of things got neglected because the fire service was looking how to address the pandemic EMS portion of that crisis within their community. So a lot of training time and dollars was spent on how do we manage, you know, this crisis. They spent a lot of time on just decontaminating fire stations, the ambulances, the engines and the trucks. And so regular firefighter training kind of got put by the wayside. So hopefully we're getting back to that. But there's definitely a new core of people. And so I was encouraged, and that's going to give me a new sense of enthusiasm for my class tomorrow. One of the things I was thinking about also, I'm going to write an article on this in Fire Engineering. I'm actually writing it now, so it should be published in a couple of months. But, you know, when you look at size up, one of the components of size up is time of day. The traditional size up, when we looked at time of day, meant in the daytime, you can expect maybe residential homes to be vacant, unoccupied, because maybe the parents are at work and the kids are in school, right? Anytime from 8 to 2 p.m. In the evening, there's dinner time. The families are home. 9 p.m., watching television. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., the occupants are asleep. And so these are all components of size up on what we can expect when we're showing up and we have to assess a life hazard. What I think, though, that this pandemic and lockdown has done is it's changed the definition of time of day. Now so many people have been working remote from home. And I know in Los Angeles, I live out in Huntington Beach, but in Los Angeles, and even in Seattle, talking to my peers, a lot of these businesses closed down and they had to come up with creative ways to continue doing their job without actually driving into the brick and mortar buildings. And so a lot of Zoom, and people who didn't even know what Zoom was, now they know what it is for sure, because there was so much remote meetings and this and that. But all that to say what? All that to say was a lot of these businesses discovered that they were able to be just as profitable by letting their employees telecommute and work from home. And so why bring them back into the office, spend all the overhead on rent and everything else that goes into maintaining an office? There's many businesses that have just opted to remain remote. Well, how does that change size of criteria? Well, now time of day, the daytime, you can have people home all day long, even kids with remote learning. So where we used to expect a light life hazard, you might have the parents at home remote working, you might have the kids at home remote learning. And so time of day now for the day could mean a full household. So just something to consider. At the same time, in the evening, after you've worked a full day at home, now people want to go out and maybe tip a few at the local pub. Maybe they're not home at 7 o'clock. You might expect them to be home, but maybe they're out for a few more hours before they call it a night. On the other hand, we would expect office buildings to be fully occupied during the regular business hours, but there are no more regular business hours. So we might be surprised to find some commercial occupancies that are either vacant or maybe just have a skeleton crew because they're having remote employees. So that also affects your size up in the business part of your city during the day. So just some things to consider. I thought that was something that was brought on from the pandemic and the lockdowns that we have to reevaluate how we look at things. So those are just some of the things that I've been thinking about. Changing gears and looking at what we need to focus our training in the future. I don't have the actual numbers, but it seems to me that in 2021, we have a significant increase in firefighters either falling into the basement or falling through the floors. Seem like we've had a lot of incidents like that. That brings up some training points that we need to consider. I've written about these in my book, but you need to research it. And so part of the reason that happens is because the existence of a basement is getting missed during the size up. We don't do a very good job at teaching size up. We're really good at defining what it is, but we don't teach firefighters how to actually conduct a thorough 360 size up. A lot of stuff is assumed. There's the 13th point, Cole was wealth size up, but that's an acronym with a lot of there's three A's in Cole was wealth. Well, which A is for what? And who's going to remember 13 points when you show up on a chaotic fire scene? My approach, which I talk about in this book, but my approach is the size up is really to identify problems. How can we solve a problem? How can we come up with a solution if we haven't even identified what the problem is, right? And for fire, the problems usually fall into six categories. Fire is a problem. We look at it, if I were to show you a photo of a house fire and ask you, what are your problems here? I do this, and believe it or not, a lot of firefighters will just kind of blank stare at you because they don't know how to answer the question. It's not that they don't know the answers. It's just never been posed that way to them. And so they're not ready for it. And I said, well, you see fire, you see flames, right? Yes. Okay, well, fire is a problem. Do we have to solve that? Yes. Okay, how do we solve it? By applying water. You know, and then the tactic is whether we're going to use a 2.5 inch and 3/4 line, a pump can, whatever. You look at it again, you go, smoke. Is smoke a problem? Yeah, that's a problem. Okay, we have to handle that. We got to get the smoke out of the building. So how are we going to do that? Well, we got vertical ventilation, but if the fire and the smoke is on floor 5 of a 10-story building, we're not going to open the roof. So we have other tactics. We're going to use horizontal ventilation, positive pressure ventilation, right? Are there life hazards? Is life hazard a problem? Yes, it is. There's possible occupants. How do we solve that problem with a primary search? Visible occupants, somebody trapped at a window. Yeah, it's a problem. We have to solve it. We're going to solve it maybe with a ladder rescue, ground ladder rescue, or aerial rescue. Access is a problem. If you show up to a house and they have a gated fence, you can't do anything until you access the property. So forcible entry becomes our first problem. But we need to teach firefighters that systematic format and size up on how to identify problems. They all know the answers. They know the problems. It's just they haven't been taught the process of identifying problems and then coming up with the solutions, right? We just a lot of times react to the emergency. So part of what is not being mentioned in size up is the identification of a basement. And that's why these firefighters are falling through into the basement. Why? A lot of times they didn't even know there was a basement. And if they fell on the fire floor, the floor they're operating on, that's because the fire was attacking the building construction components that were underneath that they were standing on, and they failed, and then they go into where the fire actually is. So we need to be able to identify that problem, identify the existence of a basement. Is it there or is it not there? And if it is, is it involved in fire or not involved in fire? If it's not involved in fire, then we can run a regular operation. If it's involved in fire, that's a game changer right there. And I think that's what's happening in some of these incidents where firefighters are falling through. And I'll get the numbers eventually, but it just seemed like there were a lot of incidents in 2021. So here's one of the tricks that I teach. We're all familiar with the acronym RECIO, right? These are the priorities on the fire ground: rescue, exposures, confinement, extinguishment, EO, overhaul, salvage and overhaul, and then ventilation can happen anywhere in between, right? But I changed the acronym to BRECIO, add a B right in front. It doesn't add any syllables to the acronym. Same amount of syllables, three syllables. RECIO, BRECIO. And linguistically, it fits. It can roll right off your tongue. But what that B does is as soon as you show up on the fire ground, if you're thinking BRECIO, that puts the identification of a basement or a below grade area right in the front. That's the first thing you need to either identify or rule out. And so that's one of the little tricks of the trade I teach in my class. It's in my book, but just something for you to think about. These are some of the nuggets that get presented at FDIC. There's tons of instructors here with years and years of experience. And if you combined everybody's years of experience, I don't even think you can calculate the amount of years of experience that you have access to here at FDIC. So anyway, if this is your first year, welcome. It's going to be an experience. If you're planning on coming, we look forward to seeing you. But, you know, I've been retired now for 5 years. And for me, I feel it's an obligation to come to FDIC and share all the information that I have, all the knowledge and experience that I gain. I feel it's an obligation to save firefighter lives. As I look at these LODD reports and the case studies, you know, the learning curve is always present, especially with these new firefighters. And so I guess as long as people keep coming to my classes and they view my work as valuable, I want to be here to share that information with you. So with that, I'm going to sign off, and I want to thank Tammy for letting me be a part of this podcast for FDIC International 2022. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, strength and honor. Thanks a lot.